And good morning. It is 9:26. I'm Jeff. This is The People Speak. And today we're going to be talking with Congressman Mike Bost. How are you doing, Congressman?
I'm very good, Jeff. I hope everybody's doing well there.
Doing fine. Doesn't do any good to complain anyway, right?
Yeah, so I'm hoping you can hear me all right. I think things are a little bit fuzzy there.
Yeah, it's coming through, getting a little bit of noise in there, but I think it'll probably work itself out a little bit.
Okay, sounds great. Well, just so you know, I mean, regardless of what you might hear on MSNBC and Fox, according to them, because we're not in D.C., we're on vacation, but I'm telling you, I'm really not on vacation. We're spending a lot of time going around the district, still dealing with the aftermath of the large flood, and then also dealing with the flood in the Madison, St. Clair County area whenever they got such massive rains in a short period of time and the damage it did there. I was there yesterday dealing with areas that over 1,000 homes in Granite City, I think, had water in them. And there's a volunteer group that is through Baptist Ministries helping out along with other churches there to try to put people's houses back together. And then also into the Chateau area, which is just on the northern side of Granite City, into Madison County, dealing with the area there that flooded. And you know, that's where they had to try to empty the water out. But I think we have a couple hundred homes there that were also damaged. So we're dealing with the floods, we're dealing with, you know, these type of things, not counting the fact of trying to get out to people and tell them, you know, what we've been doing in D.C., what I see coming in the future. I've had several meetings with everything from Chamber of Commerce to real estate groups to the list goes on and on and on of meetings we've had throughout the district. And then, of course, last week, I think if anybody watched my social media page, when we're dealing with the overall flood of what we're dealing with down in Alexander County and then Small Levee, where we've got what looks like Noah's Ark, two barges parked in a on a farmer's property about three quarters of a mile from the main flow of the river. So,
yeah, talking about that that rain the other day that up in the Grand City area, I don't think I have ever seen that big of raindrops last that long. Usually when the raindrops are big, it's just a short burst and it's over. But that continued, and it was heavy and lasted a while.
And what everybody needs to understand is, if you're in Madison, St. Clair County, everything that happens above the hill runs right down through that valley, down off the side of the hill, and into Granite City and the catch ponds of the Chateau, and the pumps couldn't keep up. I mean, they just couldn't.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's hard for anything to control that amount of rain that quickly.
Right. And so, but it is amazing to the volunteerism that occurs, and understand that this group, and I met with them, they're being housed in the Second Baptist Church, who has set up specific housing for disaster relief personnel that would want to come in. They actually have set that church up where it has shower facilities, it has rooms that are normally Sunday school rooms turned into living quarters for people that are coming in and doing the work. And these guys that are coming in are experts. They'll come in and they're taking, removing from either the first floor, if that's with flooding, it was a flat type home, or if it had a basement, they'd take it up out of the basement. They would strip down any drywall that had been soaked and contaminated, any insulation, pull it out, and then there is a chemical that they use that sprays to keep the mold from growing. Dry everything out, spray that chemical on the wood there, treat it all, reinstall the insulation, reinstall the drywall, paint, get things ready back, and move back in for these people. And they're coming from all over the nation to help them out.
All right. I'll tell you what, Congressman, let's go ahead and take a break here, and we will come back and talk some more with Congressman Mike Bost. You're listening to The People Speak on Real Country 1230 and 97.3 WHCO. We will be right back. This is The People Speak. Again, we are talking today with Congressman Mike Bost, and we've got him on the line here. And Congressman, we were talking about some of the flooding and stuff. I see that you recently introduced some bipartisan legislation on the Levee Rehabilitation Improvement Act.
Yeah, the Levee Rehabilitation Improvement Act was dropped. You know, basically what that is, it's to fix the levees that we first have, but we first have to fix the law. The Army Corps this flood, they calculate any repairs based on what's known as a benefit-cost ratio. But the benefit-cost ratio quite often does not, it does not at all. It says, okay, what's the value of the property behind the levee? What is the damage that to the area behind the levee? Is it farmland? What's that calculate at? What homes? What's that calculate at? Businesses? What's that calculate at? Highways? What's that calculate at? All of the cost benefit analysis that they do. However, for whatever reason, navigation was never put in there. And so when you're dealing with navigation, especially when you're dealing with certain spots like what we have down in Alexander County, you got to understand that during this last flood, in the last few weeks of the flood, three times tugs loaded with barges trying to push upriver or downriver were sucked into the breach based on the current flow that was occurring because of the absence of that levee. Now, the damage that caused in fuel loss and possible danger to people, but also then blocking the river in some way or other another that would stop the overall production of the ability for us to move and navigate from the Chicago area all the way down to New Orleans. So those costs must be included in that. Originally, many of the engineers that are involved with the Corps said, "Oh no, that's not a factor." Well, when you had three actually operating power units that push our barges up and down the river, sucked into the breach. Not only that, then the final straw was there were six barges that actually broke free from a tug and then were moved into and sucked into the breach. Six of them came across the area that was where there was farmland underneath this water, even to the point that it knocked over telephone poles, knocking over power lines, destroying property that way. They were able to get the power units into the breach and actually retrieve four of the six that had went into the breach and across this land. Now, if you want to get onto my website, you can actually see where they are actually two barges that they don't know how they're going to get out. They're over 3/4 mile away from the main channel. They're setting on what is left of a farmer's property. The best I can describe is it's almost like a picture of Noah's Ark setting out in the middle of dry land. And we're trying to work with the companies that are involved to figure out, okay, how do we remove that? What is the possibilities of what was the damage that was done? And then what's the long-term effect of not sealing that that breach and the danger of the changing of the river course? And if you change the river course, it stops navigation completely. So that's the reason why the Levee Rehabilitation Improvement Act is out there. It is to give the opportunity for the Army Corps, when they calculate their benefit cost analysis or benefit cost ratio, that when they get, they can use all of the things and the long term issues that would occur. Let me also say that they tried to fix this rather than building the levee back. They went in and poured many tons of and millions of dollars worth of riprap into the breach to slow the water down, not to actually stop the water, but to slow it down. All of that is washed away. So that's why it's important for them to get this right and get it right as soon as possible before the next water comes up.
All right. What are some of the other things that are going on? I know we hear a lot in the news.
Yeah, let me tell you that there's some... Look. the frustration that I feel is that while there's a lot of things we need to be doing on infrastructure that we've talked about several years or several months over the last year, went into detail of why that's important. Dealing with our veterans, which we're still dealing with and moving several bills to deal with that. But unfortunately, every time we turn around, there is in Washington just partisan distractions on investigations. Mueller's testimony, which ends up being a dud. Democrats introduced articles of impeachment, and they won't get off that, even though there's never been any collusion or anything that justifies to go down this road, even though both Republicans and Democrats have done multiple investigations. And we also have Speaker Pelosi for the first time ever in 35 years that a speaker has had their words stricken from the record or moved to get their words stricken from the record, then a procedural move, put those words back in. This type of partisanship, partisan bickering's got to stop so that we can get the things done that we need to get done. But on a more positive note, let me tell you that we also worked on Cahokia Mounds, working to make it a national park. That isn't being done in a bipartisan manner. Lacey Clay from across the river is my co-sponsor of the bill, but so is John Shimkus and Rodney Davis. But also in the Senate is a companion bill being carried by Senator Nick Durbin. So the importance of preserving Cahokia Mounds as a national park and get it into a national park status for the future generations, whether it's our children or our grandchildren or our great-grandchildren, to understand the history of Cahokia and what it was, the Native people, and how that was such a large community, anywhere from 10 to 20,000 people is estimated, that lived thousands of years ago at in the Cahokia area along the river, and they were the river people. And so, you know, this type of preservation of history is something that should be in the hands of the national parks. And the advantage of that, too, is that the third party that helps participate with that, because there's a local group that has been around for years that makes sure that's preserved. Also, the state has been involved with it. But now, with this national park status, we put that in place. We know that for future generations, we'll be able to protect that land and also possibly expand on it so that others would make it a destination site for tourism, to help with other tourism around the area, to just see the history and look at the mounds.
Yeah, I was looking over the list here. You had mentioned earlier the veterans bills and stuff. You've got the Cost Savings Enhancement Act, the Health Center Management Stability Improvement Act, Agricultural Apprenticeship Act, which could be beneficial to people in this area. That makes USDA apprenticeships available to veterans. Also, the Blue Water Navy Veterans Act.
Yeah, there were several things that we were able to do. We were able to do in the VA committee in a bipartisan manner. The apprenticeship is a great program because you've got to realize how many people are aging out and farmers that are, you know, the I think 60% of the, no, 70% of the farmers today across the United States are above the age of 65, or above the age of 60. And only about 10% or so is below the age of 30. And that's a real problem because we need to make sure that people get involved. And we can do that by also then encouraging our veterans to come into an apprenticeship to a farm that maybe does not have a family member to pass it on to, or the family member chooses not to be involved with the family farm. Through this apprenticeship, they can learn what it's like to work a family farm. And what they've also discovered is many of our veterans who suffer from post-traumatic stress syndrome, this is a way that they actually, by being focused and directed in the right way, can relieve that at the same time of providing what we need in the future, which is those people who will go ahead and be investing in agriculture and making sure that we are the breadbasket that we've always been.
All right, Congressman, I'll tell you what, we've got another break here. Let's go ahead and get that out of the way, and we'll come back and talk a little more with Congressman Mike Bost here on The People Speak. We'll be right back. Welcome back again. We're talking with Congressman Mike Bost today, and got about a little over 4 minutes left in the program. I was going to ask the congressman, because in the news a lot here lately, and relating to a couple of mass shootings recently, gun control has kind of taken the forefront again in the public eye.
Right. And so let me tell you that, you know, first off, no one wants to see this type thing continue. We do not. But we want to understand that we need to blame the true cause, not the in this case, the weapon of choice. And also, we need to understand this. Every one of us that take these offices hold our hand up and swear that we will uphold and defend the Constitution of the United States. The Constitution of the United States is the most unique document in the world. Now, it is also the most quoted, least read document in Congress. And the most important thing is to protect each one of those amendments. Now, the Second Amendment is very clear that it was given for the rights of the American citizens to bear arms. And that bearing of arms was put in there because we want to have the opportunity, in case our government would go awry, that we would be able to stand up and make sure that we, the people, are in control of our government. Now, let me explain to you that there are certain things that are sensible that we can do and have done. ATF, at my request, along with a letter back when we had the Vegas shooting, because I talked to some local gun dealers specifically and said, do you sell bump stocks? They said, no, we think they're, one in particular said, no, I think they're a ridiculous thing. And they're not accurate. All it is somebody wanted to circumvent the law from 1930s. So, you know, I put on a letter for that. That is something we could still do and not infringe upon the rights of the Second Amendment. That being said, as we move forward, I have also worked on a lot of language that deals with school shootings, the school safety grants we did last year, everything like that. We also made the investment, and we're still making investment into mental health issues and how to make sure we try to find those people who might be suffering from mental health or might be a danger. Now, as we move forward, they're talking about the red flag legislation. Now, some of the red flag legislation would infringe upon our rights to a point that I don't think it would be constitutional. I'm going to watch that very, very closely. Brian Babin out of Texas has a bill that may be something that we can go ahead and make sure that there are reporters that are like you do for child abuse. If someone is making a threat or whatever, that they are mandatory reporters. We're going to be looking at all of this to try to deal with this issue. But remember, there's a lot of other factors that come into dealing with this. And one factor that's into it, and the thing is, you have to also remember that you have the freedom of the First Amendment right, your freedom of speech. However, the anger and everything like that that's out there stimulates some people that might be in that case of having mental problems. All of these things are what we have to look at. However, we also have to make sure we protect the Constitution of the United States. I know that the mayor in Ohio, because she really didn't like the president, I think she made comments, and then she made comments about how we have to move forward get rid of these assault weapons. The problem is we went down that path once, and what we discovered was that when you let people write law that don't understand weapons, they change what a description is of an assault weapon. The 22 rifle that I got whenever I was 12 years old to hunt squirrel with, according to the standards they had back, the first assault weapon ban, that was an assault weapon, according to them, because it had a 10-round rotary clip. So you need to make sure that you understand what you're trying and asking for. The reality is that she says there's no reason that we should have a country, and we're the country that end up having people shoot people and do these mass shootings. Well, the reality is we're also the only country that has a constitution that guarantees your right to bear arms. Now, I'm totally for that right. I am, because it's part of the constitution I believe in. However, we, the American people, if they would want, they could get someone to sponsor, and then if they could get enough votes, an amendment to the Constitution, if they feel that that needs to be removed from the Constitution. I do not feel that needs to be removed from the Constitution, and I would argue against that. But that being said, there is an ability to change that Constitution, but to come out and argue the way that she was and many others do doesn't change the fact it's in the Constitution. And this is where it makes it very difficult as we move forward. There's no one wants to see any more of these mass shootings, but we need to make sure that we're well within our constitutional rights when we draft legislation.
Exactly. All right, Congressman. Well, we're out of time, but we do appreciate you taking time to talk with us today.
Well, thank you for having me on, and I look forward to next month, and I hope everybody enjoys this this end of the summer. Go out and be with your family on Labor Day, and enjoy the DuCoin Fair and other things that are going on out there. And I appreciate it, Jeff, and thank you.
All right. Congressman Mike Bost here on The People Speak this morning. That'll wrap things up. I'm Jeff Blair. You're listening to Real Country 1230 and 97.3 WHCO.